Good morning, Walter.
Morning, Nat. Madam Chair, I feel more comfortable if I'm on my feet.
Absolutely.
Kia ora. My name is Walter Peretika Rika. I speak on behalf of my Rika whānau, who were born and bred in Rotorua, and who number in the hundreds. My parents alone have over 200 descendants and increasing. Our grandfather, Te Roa Tau, was commonly known as Pompey Rika, and he led the New Year's parade as the Te Arawa chief, dressed in Māori traditional attire of kiwi feather, korowai, and headgear, through the streets of Rotorua for many, many years on his beautiful white horse prior to his passing in 1968. So that's my background. This Te Arawa protocol proposal can only enhance the better management, consultation, engagement, and effective operation of the Rotorua District Council governance. Firstly, it is a proposal that the Rotorua District Council has the legal authority to bring into effect, should they wish to, after due deliberation and discussion. Next, it has the backing of a substantial number of Rotorua District Council general constituents, and including Māori population, particularly of Te Arawa descent. This proposal has been debated, discussed, and robust hui has been had to formulate the detail to the proposal and has all the components of Māori requirements sufficient to make an improved difference to Rotorua District Council decisions. The Te Arawa proposal will bring to the Council another dimension to its decision-making process, whereby Te Arawa perspective and input would be provided, which may otherwise not be the case. Te Arawa have played a significant part of the development of the Rotorua Rohe, both in the city and rural areas, and will continue to do so by the mere fact that much, if not all, of the city bounds, the lands that are owned and occupied or under the use and control of Te Arawa iwi and affiliated hapu, including Ngāti Pūkāki, Ngāti Whakaue, Ngāti Tuhaurangi, Ngāti Wāhio, Ngāti Pikiao, Ngāti Ranga Wewehi, Ngāti Rangi Tiaorere, and many other hapu of the Rohe. The inner city development has been hugely influenced by the Ngāti Whakaue Tribal Land Trust, known as Pukaroa or Ruawhata, and further development is continuing. All of this is most beneficial not only to the Māori beneficiaries of the lands, but also the general public overall. Te Arawa has had a major contribution to the Rotorua District Council in the past, but with the introduction and implementation of the Te Arawa proposal, the input and contribution will be significantly increased. There has been a good deal of negative comment about the Te Arawa proposal, which is mainly due to a misunderstanding that the Te Arawa Māori pose a threat to the democracy of the people, but the reality is that Te Arawa only wish to contribute in a worthwhile way to the issues that may affect them and their people and the district. And it is through this Te Arawa committee that is being proposed to be implemented that this can be done. The Te Arawa representatives will be selected and appointed from the best available people from the Te Arawa tribe, who will have the interests of not only the general public, but also the interests of the Te Arawa iwi at heart. Such appointees will have the experience, knowledge, and the background of the work of the Rotorua District Council, and be aware of the particular needs and aspirations of our Māori people, and will make a huge contribution to the affairs of our district that can only be beneficial to all the people of our district. The proposal is also about sharing the responsibility of decision-making. with Māori in a way that will embrace the cultures of this district and move ahead, ensuring the views of Māori are recognised, as has been the case in the past, but with more emphasis now, because Te Arawa will be at the table and could not be merely given a token nod indicating that Māori have been consulted. Rotorua is unique and is on the agenda of most every tourist that visits our country as a place to must visit. And that is mainly due to the Māori cultural and heritage sites, Māori tourist sites such as the Buried Village, Pahutu Guys at Te Puia, Kuirau Park and the Government Gardens with geothermal ngāwha and hot mud pools, Tikitere Hell's Gate, and many other attractive features. And most of all, it is unique because of the concentration of our Māori population that all tourists come to New Zealand to see. To have members of the Te Arawa tribe, being the tangata whenua, who are an integral part of the huge attraction that Rotorua has to offer, sitting alongside the Rotorua District Council councillors, would be most beneficial to the legislative consultation process with Māori that the Rotorua District Council must carry out in the performance of its duties. The Rotorua District Council would be seen as making a genuine approach towards the terms of the Treaty of Waitangi by the implementation of the Te Arawa proposal to the functions and affairs of the Council, as it would show an understanding to the public at large the partnership relationship of cooperation that will be nurtured and developed between the Council and Māori. This initiative will increase the awareness of what's happening in our district to more specifically our Māori people, who otherwise would not pay so much attention to council affairs. Not because of disinterest, but because they would feel more involved now than in the past with what's going on, and may even be more inclined to communicate with the iwi representatives, who would be more accessible to them to make their views known. This, of course, would give a broader public view to the Rotorua District Council issues and allow a better balance for decision-making, particularly on district issues affecting Māori and Māori land. Finally, the past representations of our Māori people with the Rotorua District Council has shown a need for more and better input of Māori perspective to decisions of council, and with the implementation of this Te Arawa proposal will bring into effect what the Māori population of the district has strived for in the past. It will create new and innovative ideas that could only derive from a Māori perspective and input, and will give a greater understanding of the importance of partnership and relationships that can be achieved in Council's operations. Total support and implementation of the public of the Te Arawa proposal is sought. Thank you, Ma'am.
We have time for one question. Councillor Rokoatate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Walter, for coming along this morning. Walter, you're aware that recently, when our council did not heed the advice of the Te Arawa Standing Committee and indeed of our policy advisor, it cost this council $1 million, the ratepayers. Do you believe the Te Arawa proposal will head off such a debacle if it should it ever come again?
I believe that if the Te Arawa proposal was implemented, such issues would never happen again, simply because Te Arawa would be part and parcel of the decision-making of the council. And whether or not their input is actually taken seriously, I'm sure that the representatives of the Te Arawa Council or committee will ensure that their views are definitely made known so that this issue, those sorts of issues won't happen again. Kia ora.
Councillor Bentley, there is a minute if you wish to put your question.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Walter, thank you for your submission, and you spoke most passionately on it. Is there a difference in your eyes between being able to contribute to the decision-making process and being elected to make the decision?
I think that the general election that happens periodically can be greatly supported and contributed to from other members of the public in the form of the Te Arawa committee proposal. And I think that the more diverse thoughts that are put into the ring, the better the decision. Kia ora.
Thank you for coming.
Ma'am, I'd just like to say that I've got a copy of this that could be handed out to the members if they wish to have it.
That's lovely. We've all got a copy. Thank you. And there will be a full record of all submissions at the end of the hearings and proceedings. Now we ask Pakitai Raharuhi. And he kindly offered to come last week to fill a gap, but here's your moment. So we're looking at submission number 229 on page 53. Good morning. You might need... Cool.
Te mea tuatahi, kei te mihi atu kia koe me ki te koro matua o te kaunihera arohe o Roturua. Kia koutou ngā memo o te kaunihera, kei te mihi atu kia koutou tēnā koutou. Me koutou te iwi. Tōku inoa ko Pakitai Raharuhi. Me huri au ki te reo tūru. My name is Pakitai Raharuhi. I wasn't born in Roturua. I was born at the head waters of the Kaituna River. That was where my umbilical cord was cut. I was nurtured and grew up under the beauty of our lakes, Rotuiti, Rotoma, Rotehu, and under our awesome maunga, Mata Whaura. I come from a different perspective, as I was brought out in the hills. In a lovely, lovely road they call Rotehu. Most of you wouldn't even know where it is. But I still pay rates out there, just to plug in. But as you can just see by the brief, I am totally supporting the Te Arawa partnership model. Fully supporting Tautoko. As you can see by my four bullet marks, I'm into its self-determination, mana motuhake, key point one. The right to decide, right to determine. Point number two is whanaungatanga. It's not exclusive, it is inclusive. Which leads on to point number three, the Treaty of Waitangi. The Treaty of Waitangi, it's a partnership. It is a partnership between Te Arawa, or actually more precise, Tangata Whenua and Te Iwi. Just to let you in, I am a descendant of Te Arawa, our Koro Tamate Kapua. Fourthly and lastly, this partnership is it's of aroha in the sense I can recall, for example, up at my marae at Kiaroa, John Keeney had a seat on the Pai Pai at Kiaroa, and that doesn't happen very often. That's what aroha and whanaungatanga is about. Being inclusive. Other examples down at Otomarai, my people looked after, let's say, the Pākehā down there. My marae fed them, haumai tawhiti. But in saying that, that's about all I can talk at the moment. 노래를 띄워 그 두 가토.
Thank you. And are you happy to have questions? There appear to be none. Thank you for coming. You were so clear. Timothy Hughes, please. Is Timothy here? Oh, thank you, Timothy. If you come to the lectern 1095, page 126. Good morning. Take your time. We've got plenty of time. We're not rushed.
Yes, I intend to be equally brief. Your Worship, Council, at the beginning of this century, two significant things happened relating to local government. The first, Māori constituency seats implemented by Environment Bay of Plenty were permitted elsewhere by the Local Electoral Act. I think that was 2001. And then in 2002, the Local Government Act obligated councils' engagement with Māori. I want to consider two reports made late in the first decade of this century, and those reports review progress since the Local Government Act of 2002. The first report, entitled Research into Māori Participation and Engagement with Local Government, is number 19 in the Department of Internal Affairs Local Government Information Series and is dated 2009. The research was of four councils. It concluded in respect of Environment Bay of Plenty, the establishment of Māori constituency seats is a key mechanism utilised to facilitate Māori input and participation into council. It then noted that it is the support mechanisms which have been put in place which give substance to the relationship. The next year, 2010, the Human Rights Commission report, Māori Representation in Local Government, quoted and referenced the Department of Internal Affairs report. The Commission's report states that the evidence is overwhelming that the Environment Bay of Plenty model works well in the Bay of Plenty. So these two reports motivated my submission. I feel that Council has sidetracked from the, to me, central goal of Māori constituency seats. That goal would ensure that councils elected from, that it would ensure that councillors were elected from a Māori electorate role. I noticed page 20 of the Department of Internal Affairs study that some study participants referring to Environment Bay of Plenty said the local government framework still does not reflect Maori cultural values or ways of working and engaging with the community. So as I said on my feedback form, I think that elements of the Te Arawa Standing Committee would no doubt be important to give substance to Maori council interrelationships. Your Worship, that's all I wish to say.
Thank you, and that's a view that hasn't come to the table with those reports. So thank you for pointing us to those. Are you happy to have questions?
Yes.
Yeah. Councillor Sturt, is that a question?
Excuse me, I'm pretty damn deaf.
It's all right.
There may be problems.
Yep, it's all right. We'll give it a go. Councillor Sturt has a question of you.
Firstly, thank you for the perspective of your submission. If you go close to here, you can hear it through here.
Okay.
Firstly, thank you for the perspective of your submission. In order for Council to meet its obligations under Section 81 of the Local Government Act, which it says in the law, a local government must establish and maintain processes to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to the decision-making process of the local authority. Do you support separate Māori wards at local government level?
Yes.
Councillor Maxwell.
Thank you, Timothy, for coming. Oh, make sure that I can get it. Plus. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. I enjoyed listening to your perspective on it, and especially around the Bay of Plenty Regional Council model, which also I could have adopted now as well. The question I have, are you aware, even when that model was being proposed and in a similar way we were having hearings like this, there was huge opposition against it, but it, Judge Trapsky, he facilitated over the whole thing, and they've implemented it.
A question.
And leading to that question is, do you feel it is the right model now? It is working well?
Definitely.
Definitely.
Lord?
Worship, one question, Timothy. Thank you very much for your submission. With the answer to Charles Sturt, when you said Māori wards, do you mean for all Māori or just Te Arawa?
Sorry, start. Thank you for thanking me. Then what did you say?
When you mentioned Māori wards, do you mean for all Māori?
As I understand it, I should have said that I'm a ratepayer elector here. If I was entitled, I'm not, as a Māori, under my proposal, I would expect to be able to enrol in a Māori role for the Rotorua Council District.
Thank you. We understand. We'd have to change the roles. We'd have to have roles. That's what you're saying. We'd have to have roles for that to be able to happen. Thank you.
Can I say it's my, no doubt, ignorant understanding that that would be a matter for the Electoral Commission.
That's right. That's right.
That they send me voting, and not a voting paper, a form that says, are these details correct? If they are correct, you don't have to do anything. If they're not correct, please let us know with the correct details. Yeah.
That's right. So changes would have to happen. Thank you. Thank you for coming, Mr. Young.
Thank you very much for your attention. So it turned out to be a bit of a marathon effort, I understand.
And we're learning a lot. Thank you. And now do we have, I can't see them, Heather or Locke. Oh, hello, Locke. For councillors, this is submission 1102, page 126. Good morning, Locke. Can you just, thanks.
Good morning. Is that all go? Stops the static. Yes, it's been a long time since I've been sitting in this seat and made a presentation, but thank you for the opportunity. I assume you've all read my submission and understand the key points that I'm trying to present across. I'll give you a bit of background. I have worked hard in my life and have managed to travel significantly around the world. I've been into many African countries, been into European countries, both East and West. Recently I've been in Croatia and talked to many Croatians about the conflicts that they had in there in the past. And I've been up through quite a few Asian countries. And in my travels, I've always endeavoured to try and talk to the local people. I often walk with the children because they want to speak English and learn English. But in that, I've been taken into mud huts and of Masai Mara to all sorts of different ethnic groups and people. I've been into houses in the back streets in America. It's just something that I enjoy, listening and talking to people. And one thing I have observed, there are significant conflicts throughout the world in many countries. And it saddens me that we've now got a process here where we've got probably one of the biggest submissions that we've had to the community because there's unrest in my community. I see there has been no country that I've been into that has had an enduring stable political process that have given undue power to a particular group over the others. I was in Russia before the communism failed there, and there was an elite group there that had privileges over the masses because of the ability to be able to sit on committees, and the masses couldn't under-elect them. They were lucky that they didn't have significant wars there to unseat it. They're still struggling. So that's the basis that I come from. I want harmony in my community. I want all various groups, whatever affiliation they like to call themselves, or backgrounds, ethnicity, I don't consider that as important. What I consider as important is that we have equity and fairness in our community, and that all groups are listened to and understood, and then we act accordingly once that process is happening. And I can't find a better system than having an open electoral system. The faces around here, I have put a tick beside their names. On many occasions, some of them haven't had ticks sometimes. But if I don't like the decisions that you make over the 3 years from one election to the next, then I can change where I put my tick. And that's something that we don't understand, that is a powerful, powerful tool to keep our society ticking over in a direction that the majority of us wanted to travel in. So that's where I come from. You've read my submission, so I'm more than happy to have a discussion over how we're going to go forward in a more unified process than what this is creating. Thank you.
Thank you, Lachlan, and you've certainly been close to council over the years. Have we got questions? Councillor Vicar.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Lachlan, for your rather interesting view of the world and democracy. Having read your submission, just a simple question. Do you have a preference for any of the options that have been offered to date?
No. And the reason being is that there are significant groupings or people within the community that feel disenfranchised through it, and you'll probably get this through the new rating system coming through. There'll be various groupings in there that will be on a winner, and there'll be other groups that will be felt hard done by. And so that is the... And I feel... I don't always agree with the decisions that the council make by any stretch of the imagination, but I have the ability to come and express my point of view, and if my point of view is not persuasive enough, then I lose that point and that discussion, and then I have ability to be able to go and influence the community or try and influence the community through the media or social media, whatever, talking to people in social gatherings, and change the council in the future. And if I'm in a minority in that regard, I have to live with that. But as long as I am not ill-treated in that process, then that's democracy and we have to live with it. I have always stood up, and I had a reputation when I was at school for standing up for any kid that was bullied in the school ground. And, I've come across teachers many, many years after I left school, and they said, you know, they looked at me because they didn't know whether I was being a bully and beating people up or whether I was enforcing it. And what I was doing was I was looking after a little fat boy or someone that had a limp or something, and I was enforcing and stopping other kids picking on them. And kids are terrible at picking on them. And I've always looked out for the person that was the underdog. I still do, and that's why I got involved in the politics that I did.
Councillor Bentley and Councillor Donaldson.
Thank you, Lachlan, for your presentation. A lot of thought's gone into it, obviously. We've got to communicate better with our Māori. Would you be in favour, or would you suggest a Māori policy advisory board would be acceptable?
The first point that you made, that you've got to communicate better, fully agree, absolutely, and that is not just with Māori, but with other groupings within the community as well. That's how we're going to start turning this community around, from losing population, from having a stagnant economic growth, to actually growing, by all, us all going in the same direction. So absolutely, fully agree with that. If it takes a special committee, and but there'll be costing associated with that, if that is the best way that is to communicate with a particular grouping, well, then that's what the council will have to make a decision around. But there'll be other groupings. They may then feel as though they need an advisory group as well. It's not easy to communicate, and communication is a two-way street. You know, it's not just council going information out and putting newsletters out, but how council listen and understand and show that they understand the issues, that is important. And if it takes a special committee to do that, I'm benevolent on that.
Councillor Donaldson, then Councillor Gould.
Thanks, Lachlan. So the Local Government Act singles out Māori as a group that council has an obligation to enable their contribution to decision-making process. Is it your view that the open, at-large electoral system goes far enough? Albeit you are just now saying, you know, communication is a great thing, two-way communication, but just in terms of that contribution to the decision-making process, is the open electoral system sufficient in your view? Is that what you're saying?
I've read the Act and read the sectors of the Act, and I did that before I made my submission. The Act, as I understand it, says that mentions specifically that you have to consult with them. And I fully support that part of it. It does not say that they have to be at the decision-making table and making that decision. Consultation is different to making decisions. I personally like to use the word empower. And I want to have various groups within the community empowered to make the right decisions. But to the second part of your question, yes, I think that the election at large, as by demonstrating the people that are sitting around the table, that it is sufficient.
Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Lachlan, for your report. I quote from your written submission, any option has to have a key principle. Would you be in favour of Maori wards for all the Maori people of Rotorua?
If there's an open election process, and unfortunately we have two roles in the country, so we have electoral roles, you know, we have a Maori electoral role and the European electoral role system, or general role. And if that's the process, the people on that group, on that role, want to have that process of election, it's still an open election, and people then still have, that are on that role, still have a right to not tick the box the next time round. Well, then that's part of democracy.
Councillor Maxwell, and then Councillor Stewart.
Thank you. Kia ora, Lachlan. I'm just reading from your submission, any process of giving power through sitting on decision-making committees to any interest group. We already have that now. We have the Audit and Risk Committee, Tourism Committee, and I support that because they're the movers and the shakers. So whilst you say you're against it, we already have that in place now. What do you think about that?
And I'm opposed to those as well. So very much so. I thought I'd made that very, very clear, that if they're in a decision-making process, that people that are elected around this are the decision-makers. I'm on various boards, and I go through an election process to be on that board. And if the shareholders or the stakeholders in that grouping do not want me at the election, I pack my bags and go.
Councillor Sturt.
But I have to be held accountable. It's being held accountable is the key aspect of it. And that's where I see in various communities there, if the ruling group or the decision makers are not directly held accountable, then over a period of time, initially it doesn't matter, but over a period of time, then the people that do not have direct input feel disenfranchised. And then this friction that develops in the community.
Councillor Stewart.
Lachlan, you mentioned in your submission, you said the Act talks about consultation. Well, I've just had a look at the two sections in the Act, and the word consultation isn't mentioned once. It says, a local authority should conduct its business in an open, transparent and democratically accountable manner, and a local authority should provide opportunities for Maori to contribute to its decision-making processes. Then goes on and says a local authority must, not might could, or it should, establish and maintain processes to provide opportunities for Maori to contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority. So are you saying that by giving two voting rights to one group, as we're required, not the voting rights side, but to maintain decision-making processes with Māori. Are you saying that by giving two rights to a group of people in this area who have a history of 150 years of supporting the Crown, central and local government, that we're going to compromise that?
Yes.
Okay.
A simple word. It people, it doesn't matter how long your history is, there are people here that are new to the community that are absolutely passionate and supporting of democracy within the community and contribute an awful lot to the community and vice versa. So it is, and the Act does not say that they can contribute. The Act does not say that they should be sitting around the decision making table unelected at that process. Now, you might say that there's two on some committees, but on the resource committee, there's a proposal to have one of three. So that's a third. So that's not two on a big group, it's one of three.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I'm obviously out of line of sight, but I've actually had my hand up and I'd like to ask a question, please. because I'm deferring to my fellow councillors all the time.
I overlooked you before. Yeah. I'm very sorry. Yes, you may have a question.
It's only a brief question. It's only a brief question. Thank you, Madam Chair. I see, Lachlan, where you've said that you disagree with all aspects of the model. That's what you've stated here. So I take it then that you believe that Te Aroha is currently treated fairly and equitably.
I didn't say that.
But you've said you disagree with all aspects of the model? Is that, but that's what you stated here.
I said, correct, I disagree with all aspects of the model, but I did not say that all groupings within the community were treated fairly. I did not say that.
Thank you.
So you miss. I'd just like to put that on the record, please, that I did not say that all groupings within the community were treated fairly and equitably. Sorry, that this proposal was not going to enable that to happen in the long term.
Thank you. And these are all recorded, so it will be on the record. Thank you. Thank you, Lachlan.
Thank you for listening.
And now we ask for submitter number 1108. I don't know, sorry if I can't entitle you, Mr. or Mrs. Jabkevich. And for councillors, that is submission on page 128. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much, Mrs. Mayor. I'm a mister, by the way.
Everybody, and if there's just initials, I feel I cause offence.
No problems. Well, greetings to the council, and thank you very much for the opportunity of making this presentation. I've lived in Rotorua for 46 years. I had the option of going to the USA or Australia when I was a young lad, but I chose New Zealand. I did it because of its attributes, its lifestyle, and nearly frictionless society that existed then and has to this day, I think. I chose New Zealand because I was born during a war at a time in a country that was totally oppressed by a foreign power. My parents never had the vote in the country of their birth, and I am fortunate to have lived at a time and a place where I have had these rights and have them to this day. So I can elect my representatives at local and national level, and these representations and processes are time-tested, democratic, and not through a power block process. I have objected to the proposal as indicated in my written submission, and I won't go over the details of that anymore, and I'm sure you all wish to have lunch on time today anyway as well. But I wish to explain my reasons for this objection in some more detail. If there has been a failing in due consultative processes by the previous council, then that needs to be remedied, and that applies to all issues, not just the land, treaty of perceived injustices. However, this has to be through an equitable democratic process. My view is that what has been proposed will not be democratic. Now, I have a very simple mind, and the sort of analogies that come to my mind and I perceive as being equivalent scenarios could be, one, that as a pair of more than one rates in this district, I should have more than one vote in the local elections. It's not the case in the democratic system. I live with that. I can argue that, fortunately, in my successful career as a research scientist, I have benefited New Zealand materially to several billion dollars over the time and environmentally by introducing more sustainable technologies. So I can argue that I've contributed more than the ordinary person has the opportunity to do so. Should this be recognised? Should I have additional electoral votes? No, I don't. And again, you can scale this up to organisations. The Energy Trust has contributed millions to the Rotorua area. Do they have special votes? No. If we go into the commercial sector, Fonterra and Air New Zealand, just to name two, are businesses that have brought, again, billions to the New Zealand economy. Do they get representative votes with our elected MPs? No. Yes, there have been generous donations from many individuals and groups to the Rotorua area for many purposes, and they are still ongoing through various bodies. This process has not stopped. Some, like land, have had additional value added to them, not by the donors, but by the community as a whole. And the hospital is a prime example of that. Others, like education grants, have allowed the recipients to develop their potential in whatever calling they chose, without subsequent control. Now, this has led to benefits for all residents, whether it's locally or nationally. These are what I see as true partnerships, without strings attached, implemented through elected representatives, or, in the case of a commercial organisation, shareholders voting, one vote per shareholder, and for the guidance within and in that company only. So I suggest that if the council needs to put its house in order, please don't remove the foundations in the process. I want to continue living peacefully inside it. Thank you. These are my very simple sentiments.
I'm sure we all want to live peacefully inside the house. Have we any questions? Councillor Sturt?
I noticed the Mayor struggled to say your surname, and I noticed in your submission you said a bit of tongue-in-cheek that you wanted to speak in your native tongue. Can I ask where you did originate from, and to put together the puzzle of the question that you put, the scenario you put at the beginning of coming to New Zealand, and that you've been here 46 years. And so could you enlighten us?
Thank you for the question. I was born in Poland. What else do you need an answer to? Sorry, I've lost track of the second half.
You're from Poland.
I appreciate that question.
Councillor Gould.
I think Councillor
Gould. My question, thank you, Doctor, for your submission this afternoon. My question to you and the written submission you put down, is there another option? You put yes. Are you talking about Māori Policy Board, Community Policy Board advisors and individual interest groups, are you talking about them being elected to those particular positions?
It's a generic statement in the sense that I believe in having properly elected representative bodies, whether it's at the local or national level, and they then have the mandate from me to make decisions. I'm not quite sure if that answers your question or not.
Next line down, you put expert officials. This council does have a tourism board which we appoint people to, not nominate, not get voted to.
You have that right under the Local Bodies Act, and you're perfectly entitled to use that for expert opinion, for consultation. The councillors themselves cannot possibly cover all aspects of all the different subject matter that they have to deal with, and I have no quibble over that, that if you actually have canvassed or requested or even paid for commercial consultants to give you appropriate opinion, that's fine. But they are not voting. You are the final arbiters. You are the people with my vote, or most of you did. Sorry, I couldn't vote for you all. And I think that's the due process that needs to be followed.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Kia ora, sir. The one I want to touch on is here where another option or arrangement that you may prefer. You put down the democratic governance model. That particular one has not even been consulted on with Te Arawa or Māori, and I believe Te Arawa don't even want to bar it, so really it's a going nowhere. So,
question.
Are you aware that Te Arawa don't want a bar of it?
Well, you're entitled to your opinions, just as I am. And this is what the process is about, consultation.
Well,
not predetermination. Obviously, there are going to be people for and against various proposals. And then if it's a democratic process, it so happens that it's the majority that will get to have their say, and that's the way it will be for the period during which they are elected. It doesn't mean to say it's in perpetuity.
The main question was, are you aware there was no consultation for that particular model that you like?
Well, this is why it's being brought up during these discussions, because, again, perhaps there's been an omission that there hasn't been a sufficiently broad survey of options which may or may not have to be considered.
And you like less DMPs in Parliament?
Well, we're now straying from the subject of the matter, but if it's adopted properly, I certainly like MMP, put it that way, because the minority parties do get their say. Whether the threshold should be at 3% or 5% or 10%, that's another matter. List MPs, well, we can argue for and against. Depends the quality of the MP, I think.
Thank you.
Time for one more question, Councillor Stewart.
If out of this comes a move or recommendation to create Māori wards, which are democratically elected by those on the Māori roll, would you support that?
If it's perceived... this is, again, a fairly loaded question.
You promoted democracy and...
Democracy is across all... I have no problem with wards. I mean, we had them before. Why should there be a selective ward for the Māori or Te Arawa population? I'm not quite sure what you infer.
My question is a bit different. To meet our obligations under Section 81 of the Local Government Act, where we must involve Māori in the decision-making processes, a way around that is having Māori wards. Would you support that or not?
I think the real question is there a need for it? There is already representation on this council, more than represented the total Māori population in this district. I certainly, to give you another analogy, I'm not particularly happy that in the case of MMP, we've still actually got a separate Māori party, because I think the processes are there for representation, and it's on merit, not necessarily on ethnic grounds.
You enjoyed the questions, I think. Well done. So now we have finished the morning's submissions, and we will reconvene at 1 o'clock. So we close now for lunch and reconvene at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much. Good to be here.